We're in Philippians 2. It's going to be verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, I thank you for these words. And Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way right now, right here today. Father, would you use John? God, would it not be his words but yours? Because with yours come power. Father, we love you. We seek you with our heart. And we ask that you would just reveal everything that you would have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the great transition, the great transition. And I read something this week that just really sparked just my mind to go in this place. And I really believe what I shared just a little bit ago about faith, what we're talking about right now, and what we're talking about Tuesday really all ties together. I believe this is something that the Lord is moving us into. These are not new things, but they're things that we are called to as the people of God. Think about this. We see this played out all the time, but when you are born, you really are completely dependent on other people. You know that. I mean, you got kids. Like, that being does not exist unless you help that little baby along. So when we're born, we are completely dependent on other people, and we have nothing to offer. Okay, let's just be honest. As a baby, you have nothing to offer other than being cute. That's your gift to the world. You're cute. But babies don't, they don't serve, they don't help, they don't do anything. They are all receiving. They receive love, they receive food, they receive new diapers. It's all receiving. There's no giving involved when you're a baby. They're kind of selfish, actually, but it's necessary. It is necessary for them, and that's how God designed it. But they're not mindful of others. They're not considerate of their parents. It's not like, oh, mommy's tired. You know what? I'm hungry, but I'm going to wait a couple hours because mommy's tired. So I respect you, mommy. I want you to get some good rest. And, you know, like, babies aren't mindful of other people. Like, they're completely selfish. But that's just how it is. That's how it starts. And then you grow up and all of a sudden, you know, like you can start to do more things. You can take a shower by yourself. You can brush your teeth. You can even get breakfast by yourself, and you can become more independent, and you can do it, and it's great. But there is a great transition that happens in a physical life as it grows up, where you actually go from one side where you're completely dependent on other people helping you out, where you become independent, but there's this next step where you're actually not just taking care of your own needs and can do it by yourself, but you are actually helping others. And that is best played out in the life of a parent. So that's not the only place, but it's best embodied in the life of a parent when all of a sudden you have one of those little things that is completely dependent on you, and you are completely given for them everything they need in terms of diapers, food, attention, love. you throw everything away because it's all about this other person. You're given for this other person, this child. And you take care of all of its needs. And it takes a great amount of time. It takes a great amount of energy. It takes all kinds of resources. It's a bad investment. They cost so much money. But you're completely given for this child. You're serving and helping them. And this is such a beautiful picture of what the Christ life is supposed to be like. I believe that God has designed us spiritually and has given us a model in the physical world. Like you look around and there's all kinds of models. Well, this is a model of the Christ life where you grow up. You're an infant in the Lord. You are born again. You are born spiritually. And there's a time in your life where you are needing things. You're needing resources. You're needing God to change you. You are needing God to feed you. Like all these things where you have nothing and God is actually putting these things into you and you're growing and you're dependent. You don't have much to offer. You're on the receiving end. And then you become independent where you can start to take care of yourself and, okay, I can start to feed myself. I know how to navigate this. I can make some of these decisions and follow the Lord because I'm learning to listen to him and you can become independent. But then there's this great transition happens where you're moving from, okay, you're dependent there. There's a shift to being independent, but then there's a great transition happens where you're no longer independent, but you're given for others. And that is a great transition, and beloved, that doesn't always happen. Doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. The Bible talks about this a lot. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, when I grow up, I put away childish ways." That's what we're called to do. Grow up. That's the call of Christ on our lives is to grow up. And you know what? It is perfectly fine to be a child. You should be a child. And even spiritually, there is a time to be a child and glory in it and live in it. And that's the season you're in. But you can't stay there. It's not healthy for you to stay there. There's a time where you put those things away. Your scripture says that you give them up. You don't rest there. You don't get comfortable there. You give away that life and you move on from childish ways. You grow up. You become a man. You become a woman in the Lord. And you put those away. This life that's focused on you. And you go through this great transition by giving these things up. It is a great place to stay for a season, but it's not a place to stay for a life. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity." You need to grow up. You need to move on to maturity. And beloved, we're never done. Do you realize this? Like the Christ life, you're never done until it's over. So there's always a giving up of what's behind and pressing forward to what's ahead. 1 Corinthians 3 says this. This is talking about this growing up, moving on. "But I, brothers, cannot address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I filled you with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human way?" You see this all throughout the scripture. I could go on and on and on. There's this conversation in the scriptures about moving on, growing up, moving towards maturity, becoming more and more like Christ. You know, there's all kinds of examples, and even Paul himself, like you see him speaking about it, but you see Paul, the great apostle, actually embodying this. In Philippians 1, he says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." So Paul's saying, do you know what I want to do? I want to leave this joint. I'm done with this earth thing and going through all the hard things. I want to be with Jesus. That's what I want to do. But it moves on and says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Isn't that amazing? It's like, I don't want to be here. Paul's confessing that. I don't want to be here anymore. My heart is to be with the Lord. I've put my time in, you know? I've been obedient to Jesus. I've grown up. I know the Lord, and I long for him. The only thing I want more than anything else is to be with Jesus. That's what I want to do. But do you know what? For your sake, it is necessary that I stay. So his choice was, I'm not going to check out. I'm going to check in. I'm going to remain engaged. I'm going to remain given for other people. What does it say? For your progress and joy in the faith. So Paul's saying, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to check out. It is necessary that I be given for you, for your progress, for your joy in the faith. You realize it's not his? He's not saying, because of my progress or joy in the faith, I'm going to stick it out. No, he's like, my whole life is given for others, and it is for you that I will remain here on this earth until my time is done. Amazing. That's how Paul lived. Completely given for others. Completely given for others. That's why when God told him to do things, he did it. Why? Because he was given for others. Beloved, to be given to the Lord is to be given for others. Amen. Right? That's why when he gave us the greatest commandment ever, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And Jesus says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love God, be given for God, and be given for people. And you know what? Those go together. You don't have the one without the other. To love the Lord is to be given for other people. Paul lived this whole life given for other people. You know what, beloved? Like I said, this isn't something to know. This is something to believe, to have faith in, to walk in, and to walk in its fullness. And I know you. I see your faces. I see this. And beloved, I believe God's calling us deeper into this, that there's more that God has for us. So we see Paul living this out, and we also see that this is what God calls us to be as a church. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. 1 Corinthians, is that it? Oh, my goodness. Okay, sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and it says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of service, but the same Lord, and there is a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So he's saying there's all kinds of different gifts, different services. There's all kinds of things we can do with the Lord, but it's all from the Lord. But verse 7 says this, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So each one in the body of Jesus, as we do church, as we do life, as we do the ministry God's calling us, each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the manifestation of the Spirit is not just so that we have this encounter with God that's awesome and amazing. The purpose for the Holy Spirit is for others. Yeah, we get blessed by it, but it's for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to the other the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another gifts of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Isn't that something? For the sake of others. So gifts that we have from the Lord, a manifestation of the Spirit, the power that comes from God, special to you, is for the sake of others. It's for the common good. I want to fast forward to verse 25. So he's talking about the body of Christ and different parts, and each part is special, and some are more prominent, more visible, like a pastor. Like, everyone sees the pastor, but you know what? Yeah, that's special. There's a place for it, but it's not more significant because each part of the body is significant, says Jesus. So verse 25. That there may be, so he's talking about each part being equal. There are many, so that there's no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Because we're the body, and the body doesn't exist for itself. The body exists for the body. You know, the parts of the body exist for the whole body. I mean, think about it. The purpose of the nose isn't to glory in the nose. It is to be part of the body, to be part of the whole, just as the eye. The purpose of the eye isn't just to glory in the eye. It's to be given for the whole body to function. That's how the church has designed it. So the whole purpose of the body of Jesus coming together is to be given for others. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. But he says, let all things be done for building up. Another translation, let everything that is done in the body of Jesus be done for edification, for building people up, building the body up. That's the purpose of the church, gathering together, so that you will be built up, so that when you go, when you scattered, you can be poured out, so that when you come together, you can be built up, so that when we scatter, we can be poured out. That is the rhythm of the Christ life. And beloved, you need to know that you are part of the body. And the purpose of you being here is not to be, you know, someone who sits there and just listens. It's to be a functioning part of the body of Jesus given for others. Yes, you receive. Yes, you're encouraged by the Lord. Do you know why you are encouraged by the Lord? Someone else is giving, right? Yeah. Someone else is giving. What are you giving? Do you see, that's the great transition when you're showing up not to receive, but you're showing up because you have something to give. Isn't that what it says? To each one in the body of Christ is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, so that everything that is done in the body of Jesus would be done for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the purpose of the church. That not just the pastor comes with something to give, but you come with something to give. You come with something to give. So let me ask, like, what are you bringing? You know, it's not that everyone grabs a microphone and preaches. That's not what this is. But you come with something to give the body, whether that's encouragement or a word or a hug, love, serving the kids, pushing buttons back there, whatever it is, there's something that you have. Sometimes it's practical, but I'm telling you, most of what we have to give as the church is the spiritual things. It's the being with each other. So as we gather together, are you giving? There's times when you're tired and you're fried, but I'm telling you this, it doesn't matter. There are times when we're tired and we're fried, and we live in a supernatural kingdom where God gives us supernatural power to do supernatural things. So even though we're tired, even though we're fried, even though we're exhausted, God's grace is sufficient. His power is perfect in weakness, so that even in our lack, we can give. Amen? Amen? That's the great transition where it's not just about you anymore, it's for others. The reason you wake up in the morning is that, yeah, there's things for you first, but your life is for others. Your life is for others. Unbelievable. So that everything in the church anyway is for building up. So beloved, I want to just call this forward that you have something to give. Each one of you. And I might know what it is. The church might know what it is. I don't know if you know or not. But I'm telling you that God knows what it is. So ask him. God's designed you just as you are with a gift for the body. And if you don't know what that is or how to do it, ask. Does not the Bible say? Jesus says this, ask and you will receive. So that's an honest prayer to ask. What is my place in the body? How can I give to the body of Jesus so that the whole body would be built up, edified? Isn't that amazing? You get a picture of this? Like, what if we all showed up that way? Right? I want to go to that church, you know? I want to go to that church where everyone's coming with something. You know, but do you see, like, that is a mindset. That is a shift. That's a transition. That's the great transition that we're talking about, where it's like there's this, you know, when you're a baby and you're receiving, but then there's this independent part where, yeah, I can do this on my own. But the great transition to now I'm given for other people. And, yeah, I still receive. You know, when Miguel leads worship, I still receive. Honestly, while I'm preaching, I'm still receiving. Half the stuff I haven't even studied is coming. I'm being blessed by this, you know? Like, so you get blessed, but it's in the giving that you receive. Isn't it? Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because it is actually in the giving that you do receive. Amazing. God's ways are not our ways. This is the fruit of the gospel when you are given for others. This is the fruit of the gospel. You see, the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know? Jesus, our master, the one we're supposed to follow and walk in his steps. That's what he did. He didn't come to receive. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. Is that good? Amen. Jesus, our great giver, is ushering us to a life living the same way. But beloved, like, I want to say this again. It's not because you have the strength. It's not because you even know how. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit. You see that? The only thing you have to give is that the Holy Spirit's in you and is going to give you a manifestation of his presence through you. That's the only thing you have to offer to the body. But only you can offer that. So this life is the fruit of the gospel. When the gospel takes root in you, this is what it produces, a life that is given for others. I want to read again that verse that Jordan read, Philippians 2, starting verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Paul's saying, don't live for yourself. Don't do things for yourself. Don't live in that independent place. Good for you. You don't need someone to change your diapers anymore. But don't stay in this place where it's all about you. Then it says, let each of you, verse 4, look not only to your own interests, but also into the interest of others. Do you see that transition? Don't just look here. Begin to look out there. Look to the interest of others. Then verse 5, have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You need to highlight that in the Bible, okay? So this mind that we're going to talk about in a second is yours in Christ Jesus. So you need to know something. When you were born again, when you were supernaturally born again, having confessed your sin, that you are in need of God, and you believe Him and trust Him as your Savior, He gave you a new mind and a new heart and a new desire for the ways of God and not your ways. That was planted in you. So Paul is saying this, have this mind, think this way, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So beloved, I'm not saying anything. If you're a Christian, your spirit already knows this. This is yours already. Walk in it. Having this mind amongst yourself, which is yours, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He gave of himself and took a form of a servant, being born in likeness of a man and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Unbelievable. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, gave him the name that's above all names. Amen? We worship Jesus. We worship God who was completely given for others. And that's what he's calling his church to. That the gospel of Jesus Christ would produce a heart for other people. You realize that when Jesus, the disciples were asking Jesus, how do you teach us how to pray? Do you know what all that was about? May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is. Do you know what that was about? Other people. May your kingdom come in other people. May your will be done amongst the people. God's caring about people. He doesn't care about buildings. He's about the people that gather in the buildings. It's about the people. The kingdom of God is in the hearts and minds of people where Jesus is king. So the whole prayer is about others. Yes, there's parts. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you know why we get daily bread? For others. Right? It's for you first, but then it's for others. So have this mind in you that is yours in Christ Jesus, that was in Christ. So the very mind that was in Christ that sent him to the cross, that made him obedient even to the point of death, that mind is yours in Christ. So by faith will you receive this mind that is given for others and not focus just on yourself. Amazing. The great transition where God gives you new desires for other people, where you move from getting to giving. That's the great transition. In Acts, it actually says this. It's not in the Gospels, but it's in the book of Acts that Paul says, the Lord Jesus said this himself. This is Acts 20, 35. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So a little side note, one thing that's so interesting is that Paul is quoting something that Jesus said that's not in the Gospels. You know, the end of John actually says that books and books and books and books would be written about the things that Jesus said. We couldn't contain it all, you know? So Jesus said this, but it's not even in the Gospels. I love it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you want to live a blessed life, if you want to live the kingdom life, if you want to live the life that Jesus is calling you to, it's going to be about giving. Amen. It's about others, not what you can get, but what you can give. This is the gospel. It's first for you, but then it's for other people. It's not just about serving, though, okay? It's not just about serving. It's not just about money. It's about being given for other people. I'm going to say that again. Please, I want you to hear this. It's not about serving, or it's not about these things. It's about being given for other people. It's about having his mind for other people, right? Anyone can serve. Anyone can give. It's about having the mind of Christ in you. That's what we're talking about, being given for others, being given for our city, being given for our church, being given for it. That's the mind of Christ. And beloved, I am telling you, if you are married, this is how the people of God are to be married, given for other people, right? Not just where you check it off, I serve. No, but where you're given for your spouse. You know, like you look at God's design for marriage. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Sounds to me like it's not about you. Your other wives, respect your husbands. It's not about you. See, marriage is another good example of this. Like, a lot of people get married or become, think of this way, where marriage is about you. And I'm telling you, that's a real thought. Marriage is about you, my needs. It's not about you. That's not how God designed it. It's for the other person. But do you know what? It is in the giving that you receive. It's just how the Lord does it. So you need to think a little bit broader about specific things. Okay, how can I give? It's about being given for other people. Like even I was thinking about a house. Let's say you have a house. Let's say it's an awesome house. Okay, what if you have this awesome house and how can you be given for other people in the house? Is it that everyone lives there, that you just open up for people and the fridge is always stocked? Is that what that, no, I don't know. I don't think that's what it is. This is what it is. And I want you to think broader than specific things. This is about being given for other people. The place that you live is for you first, but it's for others. And I want you to think a little bit broader than, okay, how can I use this to give, give, give? Maybe the way that you're giving in your home is that it is a place of rest where you encounter the living God. You experience peace, joy, rest, so that you can be spent as you walk out that door for other people. Do you see that? It's about being given for others, that you are filled up to be poured out. So how is your home given for others, right? Do you see how that works? We need to think a little bit broader than specific things. It's about the life. Your whole life is to be given for others. Where you work, thank God for paychecks, but tell me there's more. The whole reason that you are employed where you are, if you are a follower of Jesus, is for the sake of others. Thank you for paying me. But it's for other people. In the kingdom of God, that's why you're there. In your neighborhood, the only reason you are there in the kingdom of God is because you are called to be salt and light, and that is for other people. It's always for other people. This is the fruit of the gospel. When the gospel of Jesus saves and rescues us and gives us a new mind and a new heart, and that new mind is like Jesus, who is completely given for others, and that mind is yours in Christ. Unbelievable. But this is also about, okay, being given for others. This is also about being given for God, okay? And I want you to be thinking about this. It's not, see, with people, it's not what I can get from people. It's what I can give to people. And even with God, it's not what I can get from God. It's what I can give to God. Okay, hear me out. That we would become ministers to the Lord. We would minister to the Lord. I want you to think about this and how that would change the way that you worship. That's not about what, like this song. It's more about how can I bless the Lord? How can I minister to the Word by the way that I worship in song, but the way that I live my life? How can I bless the Lord? Do you know what the scripture says? Find out what pleases the Lord and we live that way. That he's pleased by the way we live when we live holy, consecrated lives to him. It's like a pleasing aroma that comes to him. Think about this, how you pray. If our job isn't what can we get from God, but God, how can I serve you? That changes the way that we pray. That the way we pray is more about ministering to the Lord as opposed to, here's my list, here's what I need from God. Boom, 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 boom. And yeah, we need stuff from God. But how can we shift it to even be like, God, I want to minister to you in prayer. Amazing. Amazing. It's a big shift. It's the great transition. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. Right? Do you know why it's exciting to you? Because it's right. And that mind is in you. So your spirit is agreeing that. That's right. That's what I'm here for. Amen. Big Al, can you come up here? The reason why this is such a big deal is because this is the mind that was in Christ. And when we do not embody this, we give a confused and mixed message to the church and to the world. You see that? We confuse Jesus when we claim the name but don't live this out. This is the mind that was in Christ. And if we are to be in agreement with Jesus, we are to be given for other people. Beloved, we miss God's fullness when we don't walk this out. We miss it. It's like we want to encounter God. We want to see God. But unless we go here, I'm telling you, it'll be nickels and dimes. It'll be here and there. And I believe the Lord wants to usher us into his fullness. And in order to walk in his fullness, we have to have his mind. We have to be given for others. We have to make the transition from being independent or even dependent to being given for others. So, beloved, I want to usher you and invite you into the fullness of God, in the fullness of his heart, which is for others. And to remind you that that is yours. That is yours in Christ Jesus. And do you know how you get there? Closer. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't fix yourself on the, I'm just not there. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of your faith. And beloved, this is where we will see the power of God. This is where we'll see the blessing of God. This is where we'll see the fullness of God. This is where we will see the miracle. You know, this is where you will see the greatest fulfillment in your life. This is where you will see that water that quenches your thirst, that this is the life that's the fruit of Jesus being the bread of life who actually satisfies everything that you hunger for. It's when you receive him fully. It's the fruit of the gospel. It's the fruit of the gospel. This is big stuff, church. This is what will distinguish a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Do you see that, church? It's not how amazing or cool or anything else is. It is this. It is this. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven." It's not about the good deeds in himself. It's about being given for other people. Freely you have received, now freely give. Amen. in response, I would love you to, I want you to get up and I want you to find the person next to you. And let's go men with men, women with women. And I want you to pray this over them. That you would ask the Lord that his mind would become their mind. And I want you to pray that as a blessing. And I want you to call that forward. Because if we are in Christ, that is there. That mind is in you. So I just want to spend a few minutes praying. And if you are a student, if you are under 35, whatever, under 20, under 15, whatever the age is, you're part of this. And I want you to pray for this as well. And let's believe God. Amen. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Let's ask God that he would give us his mind in its fullness. Amen. And then we'll close in worship.